Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, however you're listening to us. We thank you, we appreciate you. Today is Thursday, February 12th, 2015. A little over 6:30 p.m. On the East Coast. And today, last game tonight before the All-Star break. Who plays tonight? Cleveland and Chicago. I guess we have some time before we end the podcast to preview that. But I want to start off with what seemed to be the hottest team just a week ago. Now the Atlanta Hawks, Chuck, after their, I guess it was a 19-game winning streak, that has ceased. And now they are just a mere 3-3 in their last six games. I guess the first question I wanted to ask you was, do you feel that this will roll over towards the second half of the season? Seeing that they don't have that, you know, go-to guy or star player, but do you see this, could this possibly roll over?
For the Hawks in particular, I think that their team concept works, especially for the fact that they're in the Eastern Conference. They don't have to have a star player. I think a lot of us got too hung up on the fact that, or got too caught up in the fact that they had won,
19.
And when a team goes on that type of winning streak, anytime there's some type of fall from that, the questions start to pile up about, you know, have they lost it? Can they sustain? What's next? I think this is sort of just all-star jitters or all-star lacks, and the guys are just realizing that, you know, their mini vacation was on the way, and because of that, you know, maybe they didn't push it to the bit that they had in those previous 19 games. But other than that, I think they're still the team right now who should be considered the front runner in the Eastern Conference, and 3-3 record over the last six games means much to me going down the stretch of the season.
Yep. I think I'm going to differ just a bit. I'm not going to say, you know, you should go insane over the 3-3 in the last six. Obviously, they have their record is good enough. They're in first place. But I am.
With the 6.5 game lead, I should add.
Yeah, with this, I mean, I'm as far as. Positioning themselves, I think they'll be okay. I'm not, you know, going insane over that. But my whole thing on, I guess, sports now anyway, is just, period, is a team good enough to possibly compete for a championship? I think that's what it comes down to. And, you know, people are, you know, obviously giving this team some credit, you know, their record speaks for itself. But Do I have them as a true championship contender? I don't think so. So, I mean, I don't think that the last six games are a true indication of what they've built this season. But as far as the 3-3 record, I guess it's a bit of inconsistency. And what I see from them is obviously them not having the same run that they had in the first half of the season. I expect a bit more down than they had in the first half of the season. So I won't say it necessarily will roll over, but I can see a bit more, you know, 3-3 or possibly a 1-2 skid, something of that nature. But like I said, I think they'll be okay. Probably the top seed, most likely top two seed. They won't fall out the bottom three for sure. So. I guess we'll stay in the East here, Chuck. I'm watching the Wizards last night, and I call my dad, or I think he calls me. I tell him I'm watching the Wizards. He's a fan of the Wizards, obviously. I am not. But, you know, I just mentioned they're playing Toronto, and he's like, oh, we're probably down by 30 already. And I'm like, you know, why would he say that? But Toronto gives the Wizards problems. They got the full sweep this year. They beat them three games to none. Last year, they beat them 3-1, and the one game that the Wizards won was in double overtime. Overall, I just want to, I guess, you know, take some concern with the Wizards. Like I said before, I put, you know, teams on the scale. Are they truly a championship contender? I want you to answer that. And in order to do that, do they need to avoid some teams? They also struggle against Atlanta. So, do they need to avoid some teams? Or are they just, you know, probably one and done or second round and no further than that?
The way people talk about Atlanta, how they're just a second-round-and-out team, I could easily see that being what the Wizards are. But prior to the season, I said that they would be in the conference finals. But that was sort of my belief that Bradley Beal would mature into, if not one of the elite two guards, a very solid two guard. I know people are going to point to his recent injury, and say, well, maybe that's stopping him. But I'd say that before the injury, he wasn't really showing me very much of the skills. So I think that is a big problem. I don't really think that he's going to do it all by his own thing.
You having some struggles there, but continue.
But as far as avoiding teams, I think there's four teams in that top five that are currently in the top five that they don't want to play. They don't want to play the Cavaliers. They don't want to play the Hawks. They don't want to play the Bulls. They don't want to play the Raptors. So I don't know who they truly want to face, and I don't know if there's a team that they necessarily match up well against. So at this moment, I kind of have to say it's looking very bleak for the Wizards.
Yeah, I think right now they would actually be playing the Cavs, which I don't see them beating. Also, I don't see them beating Atlanta or Toronto. So I can see them beating the Bulls in a 7-game series, but it looked like the future. Pardon me? I think they could beat the Bulls, like a healthy Bulls, as long as they're healthy. But just overall, the Wizards just seem, I remember just the beginning of the year, feeling like they were, you know, a true team that can make it to the least of conference finals. But as the season goes on, it just doesn't seem that way. And another stat I heard, John Wall, 0-for-11 in his, I guess, last 11, you know, game-winning shots under 24 seconds. So, but like you said, Bradley Beal, I thought he would be something more. He's been battling injuries, but if not an elite point guard, maybe top seven, and I don't know if he is that right now. So, we'll move on. Let's go to the West a little bit. Chuck, this team has been interesting to talk about all year on this show. Oklahoma City Thunder, they pretty much took it to Memphis last night, beat them pretty bad. They're on a tear right now. I mean, I think they're one game out of the eighth spot, if not in the eighth spot now. Can this team, who possibly have a 7th, 8th seed, 6th, probably at best. Can they make it back to the conference finals again?
To me, I think they can. They're half game out, I think, right now. Yeah, they're half game behind the Suns. And the thing is getting into the playoffs, actually. Once they get in there, anything can happen. We've seen that in prior NBA history. But you have, I think we keep saying it, when you have two of the top 10 best players in the league, you're in a sport that they play, that only five people play, and they play both sides of the ball, the Thunder are always going to be in a chance if those two players are off. Russell Westbrook was on a crazy tear last week. He was averaging 30 points, I think 9 boards and 9 assists on 50% shooting or something crazy like that. So I think, especially with the emergence of McGarry as a dominant, and maybe not even dominant, but a consistent low-post scoring threat, it sort of changes the outlook of that team and makes them a team that I don't think you would want to face in the playoffs.
Yep. You know, it's interesting. We some people, even like myself, I feel like, you know, they have a trade to make or they can make another trade, but I don't know if they're going to do it now. I mean, you would think that they are going to trade Reggie Jackson, but he's been playing well coming off the bench for them with Waiters. Obviously, his minutes have gone down some, so that's still an interesting thing to watch. Will they trade him? Will they not? What will they get back for him if they do? But I definitely think they can get back to the conference finals, depending on certain matchups. Like I said, they took it to Memphis last night. I don't know, that can't happen over a 7-game series each game, but, you know, usually when those two teams play in a 7-game series, it's one hell of a series, but I would like to see that. But, I mean, overall, I mean, I can see them getting back to the finals, or conference finals, rather. They're a good team. I mean, they're stacked. And like you said, Mitch McGarry coming on now, representing for all the 33s out there. But, you know, I just love the way he played. Well, I've been loved the way he played in college. And just the way he runs the floor. And when he's healthy, he's a good player to have. And I don't know exactly what Kendrick Perkins' role is at this point, besides, you know, collecting the check every Thursday, I think it is, but. You know, by all means, my guy. But as far as on the court, you know, I'm interested to see if they could possibly get rid of him with another piece. But, yeah, I mean, I definitely think they can make it back. And I think they're just if they're not – I would say Golden State is the most fun team to watch right now. But OKC is probably the most interesting story to me right now in the NBA. Okay, we stay in the West. A favorite of the show, Boogie Cousins, got a new coach this week, George Karl, who was actually earlier in the week tweeting some things about, you know, possibly coaching the Orlando Magic, which doesn't look too good now that he's the coach of the Kings. But yeah, he was hired, 4-year, $15 million. Dollar contract, Chuck. What do you think of this hire? Can you see the Kings growing from this? You know, I mean, what are your overall thoughts?
On any other team, this is a great, what's called, he's what, 1 of 9 coaches with 1,000 victories in his career. He's been to a finals. He's been coach of a year. I think his resume speaks for itself. I don't know if being in Sacramento is the right place for him. The only thing that you could say is that there's Boogie Cousins. And with Boogie Cousins, you're sort of forecasting that the ceiling is so high for him that George Karl, especially with, they have good players. I think Collison is a very good player. I think Rudy Gay is a very intricate piece to a team. You add all these things in and you assume that this could be a, if not even a playoff team, a very good basketball team. Kind of weird because earlier in the season they seemed to be on that upswing and then they fired their coach. And now they're about to fire another coach, albeit an interim coach, still fire another coach for George Karl. As of right now, I think it's 50-50. I think there's a part of me that wants to believe that the Kings can get it together. But I don't know if the upper ups or the head people in charge truly want this to be one of those organizations. I think you have to turn over control to George Karl. And from all the things I'm hearing, the new owner doesn't seem like the type of guy to relinquish any of those powers. So I think the story is very far from over in Sacramento, but if I was a betting man, I wouldn't bet on too many good things coming out of that.
Right. Like you said, I mean, history would say George Karl and the team, you know, will reach some sort of level of success, but this one seems a little bit more dreary. You know, George Karl, you know, as of late, it seems like, you know, obviously he wants to get his last hoorah. He was coach of the year right before he was fired in Denver, which I thought was a bit asinine. And, you know, looking at their situation now, it doesn't look anything better. But, yeah, I just feel like it's a bit of desperation on George Karl's and a bit on Sacramento's. I mean, you feel like you have to keep Boogie Cousins happy. I mean, obviously I know that they signed him to re-signed him a couple of years ago to a nice extension, but I'm just not sure. I agree with you. Like, it starts with management, and the owner, isn't this the same owner who thought about the 1-on-4 thing, leaving a guy down at the other end of the court? You know, it's just one of those things where this team was looking good at the beginning of the season, and their coach, was one that blended well with the star, and, you know, they fired the guy for, I guess, reasons, I believe, over analytics, which we'll get into in a couple of segments down. But, you know, these guys in the front office seem to be the real problem. I think George Karl was a nice name that they know and, you know, went for him, but I don't see this working out, especially in the heavy West. But I'm interested to see what he does with the team. And I don't really like their roster either. I like a few guys, but really only a couple true come to mind. Macklemore still hasn't shown me much, but it's going to be interesting to see. But this year I definitely don't see any turning around. Next year, I mean, who do you knock out for them to possibly be a playoff team? I don't see it. We'll see. Maybe a year after that, or maybe he's gone before then. So we definitely shall see. But as we move on, Chuck, we got to get back into this team that is oh so good that we actually leave the NBA for and we go to college. Kentucky play LSU the other night, Tuesday night, I believe, and slipped out of there with a 2-point win. Carl Anthony Towns just made a mental error with some, you know, I got 10 minutes to go in the game. LSU makes a run, but he comes out and he seals the deal in the final minutes. A few key rebounds, a few key buckets. One at the top of the key, a hook in the paint, all things that I love, you know, from loving the big man position. But Kentucky, Chuck, still undefeated. Calipari just looking like a star politician out there. What are your thoughts on the young boys?
They're why you should be watching college basketball and not the NBA. There's never a reason to watch college basketball over the NBA, but Kentucky is one of those rare exceptions. Like you said, mental mistake by a young freshman, but look how he responds. He makes the biggest play, if not the winning play, the biggest play of the game. So I think in the SEC, one of the down basketball conferences, the major after major five, it's not really an issue. I don't think people may respect it as much because they don't play as a tougher schedule as maybe a Duke or one of these teams from a tougher conference. But I think going in every night, getting that shot, because they know that you're undefeated and they know that you have this highly touted recruiting class, all the things that come with playing against the Wildcats. I think, like you said, Calipari has been a master politician, and he set this up perfectly so that I don't want to say it's undefeated season or bust, but this team has a chance to not just win a national championship, but be a historically good team. And I think Kyle probably has those kids in that mindset. So I'm very interested and intrigued to see how this all unfolds at the end.
Right. Overall, I don't think the team needs to go undefeated. Obviously, they want to, and people want them to. I know I surely want them to, but I thought they were possibly going to lose the other night. I wasn't counting on it, but when they got down, this could possibly be a loss. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not that big of a deal because at the end of the day, you want to be the last team in early April. But just overall. Chuck, like you said, overall, me as a sports fan, around end of January, early February, February month, college basketball gets a little, a snoozeville, if you will. There aren't too many great matchups. Obviously, you can catch some, but usually on Saturdays, I feel like there are better matchups. But now on a random Tuesday at 7 o'clock, Kentucky can very well be playing, and it's something I definitely to turn my channels to. They're a show. They're something to watch. They're something extravagant. They can be this incredible story that no team has gone undefeated in since, I guess, Bob Knight's Hoosiers in Indiana. And that's such a long time ago. I feel like in the 60s, early 70s. Maybe
76. I believe 76. It's 76.
Okay, yeah. So it's just an incredible thing to do. Obviously, UNLV had their run at one point, but they lost to Duke in the Final Four. So this can be an incredible run. It's something to watch. It's something I feel like I'm out there with them. As far as they're hyped up, they're such energy. You can tell that they don't want to lose, and they know that they are the best. So and I also want to get into their prospects, Chuck. Overall, let's say if you had three picks back-to-back-to-back by chance in this draft, who would you go after if you can only pick Kentucky guys? Who would you go after in order?
If you're limiting me to only the guys on this team, it goes Towns first, Booker second. Sort of hard because a part of me says go with Carly Stein because he seems to be the most NBA ready of those guys. But another part of me says that one of the Harrison twins, it's impossible to tell them apart as far as I'm concerned. But
really
one of those twins has definitely the ability to be a star. Maybe not a superstar, but to be a star, be a very solid player that contributes to winning basketball teams and does it in a key role. So I think that's how I go. I go Towns 1, Booker 2, and that third, give me one of the Harrison twins.
Yeah, I agree with you on number 1 for sure. Anthony Towns is a special player, not even half of what he's going to be in about 5 years. So, just interesting to watch him. I love the way he plays. So I would definitely go with him first. After that, it gets mixy, though, Chuck. I definitely understand where you're coming from. Even though I love Booker, I'm a really big fan of his. he can definitely score the ball. He can shoot the ball. I need to see, a little bit more out of him, maybe another year. Obviously, I think he goes to the NBA, but I'm not going to pick him second just yet or in the top three because, possibly he can be of the, a great six-man role and, be a James Harden of that ilk in some years to come. But as far as I think, everything goes off need, but I'll say second, I'll go with the Harrison as the shooting guard. The point guard gets a little riff, and the other guy has to come in. I'm sorry, I missed this guy's name. I always get this guy's name wrong. What was the other point guard? Number three. Ulis comes in, and the offense seems to run a little better than the, I don't know which Harrison, the point guard Harrison. So I think I'll take the shooting guard Harrison second. Yeah, I like the way he plays. Can become a star. Willie Cauley-Stein, though, a close second. So he's my third. Like you said, these guys are all, top recruits in high school. They're all top players. They've all been so good for so long. I think that'll be my three. Towns, Harrison, the shooting guard, and Cauley Stein. Okay, Chuck, over the last few days, a couple back and forth talk between Charles Barkley and Daryl Munley, I believe his name is, Northwestern guy. Over analytics, Chuck, so I guess we'll get right down to the point. Do analytics matter? And if so, what percentage would you give it?
Do analytics matter? I think analytics have a role. I'm not one who would believe on building a team around analytics. I think analytics are what you make of them. A lot of people wanted to say that Charles Barkley was just talking stupid. And I think people were just mad because a lot of people who ended up responding to Charles Barkley are analytics people. And they don't want to hear the fact that there's only people. I've seen someone say that the Mavericks won their championship due to analytics. Obviously, you don't know basketball. They won because Dirk Nowitzki went blood. He was scoring. No one could check him. There was a game where he scored 40 points in the final. That's why they won the final, not because of analytics. I definitely think there's a place for them in the game, but there's also this thing where it's called playing basketball, and you actually have to play. So no matter what the analytics, no matter what the computers say, the guys have to get on the court and actually do it. What's the big thing that we always talk about, the will of the man, especially in a sport like football? Well, it's the same thing here in basketball. Even more when you really think about it, because this is a sport where one player has almost all control or has almost all effect on the game. The analytics guys, there's a place for them, very much so, but there's also a place for good old scouting and knowing what's a good basketball player when you see one. So I think that's where I stand as far as analytics go.
Yep. I think I agree totally with you. It has its place, but I don't think it's winning you any championships. I think it probably matters or, has a bit more of a role in football, seeing, exactly what positions are, not that big of a deal. I think I heard Bill Polian say today that, cornerbacks are not that important on the chart of important players because, defensive linemen, you need them to get to the quarterback before you need a DB to, cover a full route. So, because if you can't get to the quarterback, quarterback has all day, a cornerback cannot stay on a receiver for 13. Cornerback can't stay on a receiver for 13 seconds. So I understood that part. I think it has a place in the game, but like a game like basketball where you have a guy like LeBron James or a 6'11 shot-blocking power forward like Tim Duncan for, 15-plus years. Things like that matter, and, good coaching and all of those things, I think, are of a bigger percentage than analytics. So, I guess I'm on a Barkley side as well there. So, as we get into All-Star Weekend, Chuck, I guess we'll just review some of the participants in the games and, just pick winners. So the three-point contest, we have Steph Curry, Kyle Korver, Klay Thompson, Kyrie Irving, J.J. Redick, Wesley Matthews, James Harden, and returning champ Marco Bellinelli. Who you got, Chuck?
Oh, Bellinelli for the repeat. I got Bellinelli repeat winner. Take it home, kid.
I guess I'll go with I'm going to go with Harden in this one. I think Harden is going to take this one. Harden, 8-1 odds. 8-1 odds. Interesting. Slam Dunk Contest. I think this is only four participants. Yes, only four. We have, no, it's more than, yeah, four. That's just a long name. Okay, we have the Greek Freak, which is a long name that took up two columns, so I thought it was five when it was four. But we have the Greek Freak, Victor Oladipo, Mason Plumlee, and Zach LaVine. Chuck, who you got in this one?
I've seen Zach do some crazy dunks before Minnesota started playing this season. I wish Andrew Wiggins was in this too, but since he's not, I'm going to pick the other Minnesota rookie to get it done.
Yeah, Zach LaVine, 10 to 11 odds, which is weird. I don't know exactly. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with my guy, Oladipo. 3 to 1 odds, that's he, which is like, whoa. But I think seeing that he's the, I believe, smallest player in this contest, and me knowing some of the dunks he can pull off, athletic ability, I'm going to go with him. I know Zach, I think Zach LaVine is, I think those are the main two, though, LaVine and Oladipo. So I'm interested to see this, though. We have some athletes in this one. Skills challenge, Chuck. All right, I'm going to look at these. Some guys got replaced today. Okay, the replacements are in. All right, we got Patrick Beverley, Isaiah Thomas, Elfrid Payton, Jeff Teague, Trey Burke, Brandon Knight, Dennis Schroeder, and Kyle Lowry. Chuck, who you got winning the skills challenge?
Kyle Lowry, I just think he's the most skilled out of all those guys, and he's a veteran.
Okay, I think I'm this is a tough one as well. I'm not taking Beverley. Not taking Isaiah Thomas. Alfred, I think I'm going to go with young Brandon Knight. Bring Milwaukee something interesting home. So, yeah, those are our picks for the contest this weekend. Always love All-Star Weekend. It's going to be great to see New York City, Brooklyn, also Madison Square Garden, Barclays. So, everyone is going to be out there. Be safe. Thank you for listening to Sports Opinions with Chuck and P. I am P. He is Chuck, and we are out.